Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
I'm Justin Gephardt. On today's episode, shareholder Kyle Riddle joins me to talk about the firm's R&D tax credit practice. He talks about the evolution of the team, discusses the current state of the R&D tax credit, and shares more about McGuire Sponsel's approach to R&D tax credit studies for our clients. Enjoy the episode. Well, Kyle, thanks for joining today. As you look at your journey at McGuire Sponsel, I think, you know, it's been interesting to obviously watch. I came in after you, obviously, and I think the cool part of it, you were the first shareholder after Dave and TJ to join the group. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, kind of where, how you joined McGuire Sponsel, and how, what your journeys looked like within the firm.
Yeah, Justin. So I started working with Dave and TJ back in 2005. Dave McGuire hired me to be a cost segregation consultant in November of 2005. I worked with Dave with a few other folks at a different firm for 2 years or so. Dave and TJ in the fall of 2007 decided to start their own business doing some of the offering some of the similar services that we offered at that previous company. And I was employee number one working with Dave and TJ, and initially started working on the cost seg team. It was me and Dave going out to our first client up in the Chicagoland area, and within the first 6 months transitioned into our R&D tax credit service, and have been doing primarily that ever since.
Awesome. You know, as you look at our R&D practice, and really you can kind of take this same comment for the rest of our firm, just the growth of that practice, the growth of our firm. You've obviously been an integral part of that. And I look back, 10 years ago, we were a small firm. I think we had 8-9 employees. And you look now, we're over 85 employees. We've got a really strong fixed asset practice. Obviously, our R&D practice is strong. We've got our global practice and C&I practice. But, you know, specifically looking at R&D, talk about the growth and maybe some of the challenges that you've had to face in that piece of it.
Yeah, our R&D service started off really as just one or two people. And as we took on more clients, there was a need to hire more people. And every 6 months, every 12 months, we've just slowly, steadily added professional staff to that service. There has not been any one big year of growth. Everything has been a slow, steady, strategic growth. We have added some great people with very different backgrounds, professionally, educationally, and have done a really good job retaining that talent and finding ways to help them grow professionally, personally, and that the focus on that has really allowed that team to thrive. And we're getting into a growth mode now where we're not just hiring one or two people every 12 to 18 months. We're hiring one to two people, you know, every 3 to 6 months, sometimes more. So there's, at this point, a real focus on trying to pay attention to who we hire, what their responsibilities are, how quickly can we train them, and how quickly can we get them out in front of clients. And there are a whole different set of challenges with where we are today compared to where we were 10 or 15 years ago. There's a lot more moving parts, a lot more people, different offices, different locations. We're in more states, serving more CPA firms. So that focus has really shifted over the past couple of years to make sure that we're still providing excellent service to our clients and making sure our people are motivated.
You know, as you talk about our people, we have a pretty diverse background, especially on our R&D tax credit practice, in terms of, you know, what do they study, what kind of clients do they handle. Obviously, you guys have a lot of industries that you serve. Can you talk a little bit about, as you're looking to add to the team, what are those backgrounds, what does that expertise look like, and then going from the actual team building to the process as those new team members have come in? How have we adapted our process to serving clients to maybe bring those people in a little bit sooner?
Yeah, I always say that we try to hire normal people. And the normal person is really just someone who is intelligent, who can effectively communicate in person, via email, over the phone. There's somebody, that person is someone who can figure things out. They have some intuition. They have great attitude. We do focus primarily on individuals who have an engineering or accounting background or education, but we have all different backgrounds and different degrees represented on the team. It's typically a little bit easier to find a nerd and to socialize them a little bit than it is to find somebody who's more social and teach them how to be a nerd. But both certainly work. But really, just trying to find, like I said, normal people. And kind of our default is to make sure that there's some intelligence there and they can communicate. Yeah, degrees and backgrounds are really secondary to that.
Now, as you've built out your team and people continue to take on new roles and more responsibility, what are some of the challenges you've seen your team face, whether it's industry-wide with certain certain types of clients, or internal as you kind of develop a leverage model and look to build those teams? What are some of those challenges? And then on the flip side, what are some things you're proud of, things that your team has been able to accomplish?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge we face right now as a team on the R&D tax credit service is trusting the process of delegating responsibilities. As we have hired more people and taken on more work, it requires our more experienced people to relinquish some of those responsibilities and client relationships and focus on that next step in what we need them to do. And it's sometimes hard to let go of those responsibilities and to put the trust of those relationships in the hands of some of our newer people. But that's really the only way you're going to grow. We have to challenge our newer people. We have to motivate them, and our more experienced people have to trust that things are going to be handled and that they're needed at their highest highest and best use as an employee, as a teammate. But in terms of things that I think I'm most proud of, I really think it's just client service. I mean, we put our clients first. There are all kinds of different things going on daily with responsibilities and internal things, external things, sales issues. But the biggest thing, the most important thing, is our clients and serving our clients, providing excellent service, being responsive, and our team does a great job of that. And they really put the emphasis daily and hourly is on that client service and responsiveness.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's something I'm most proud of across our entire firm is how we serve clients. And we have a lot of young people, and the way they've stepped up to the plate and have really handled that. It's awesome to sit back and watch and to see them take on more responsibility and help grow our firm. It's beyond just you and I or Dave and TJ or Jerry growing the firm. It's really our younger group that's really driving the growth of our firm now. As you look at the R&D tax credit industry, there's a lot of scrutiny involved. What do you think is a big driving force behind that? And how have you seen our team combat that?
Yeah, definitely one of the areas that the IRS focuses on has historically been listed. The R&D tax credit's been listed on the IRS's annual Dirty Dozen tax schemes. Actually, this year the list that came out in 2022 did not have that listed, only because it was primarily because it was replaced by the employee retention credit. But that scrutiny is both by the IRS and by state taxing authorities is not necessarily a bad thing. That scrutiny is needed, and it keeps service providers who are maybe not as knowledgeable, not as professional, maybe who prey on the subjectivity of the credit. It keeps them at bay and it keeps them honest. So that scrutiny really is a good thing. If you're putting out a good product, high quality product that is, you know, putting the client first and being truthful about what's going on and what the numbers are, there's really not a whole lot to worry about. There are always issues with the IRS. There's always issues with state taxing authorities or departments, but really just taking time to work through those issues with the IRS. And we have seen the IRS be more aggressive and less aggressive depending on the year, depending on the region, depending on the office and the specific agent. Different levels of scrutiny at the exam level than at the appeals level. But I think ultimately, like I said, that scrutiny, it's a good thing. It really is, and it keeps some of the dishonesty that exists in that R&D tax credit industry at bay.
Yeah, I think the point you made about the scrutiny is almost welcome. I looked from our fixed asset side. I wish we had more scrutiny on our side because it would help keep quality reports at the focus of what our clients are getting. You know, and it goes back to kind of our business model of serving the clients first and how many discussions we've had to hop on from an R&D perspective and explain, yeah, we would love to work with you guys, but your activities don't necessarily qualify. And I think that's something we see more and more often is educating our clients on what actually qualifies and how to build a great credit that also can sustain any IRS scrutiny. And I think our team has done a fantastic job at that.
There is certainly pressure from different industries to pursue the credit, and a lot of that is driven by different providers trying to convince those industries and the businesses in those industries that they do qualify for the credit. So it can be a challenging conversation with a CPA who has a client who's been told that they qualify and by somebody else, and then we come in and say, you either don't qualify or you do, it's just not a credit that's gonna be big enough to pursue. And the issue with some of those industries that have been targeted by different providers is that there's typically a lag of 2, 3, maybe 4 years before those industries get in the crosshairs of the IRS. So there are certain industries that there's really no case law, there's really no opinions out there to know what does and does not qualify for the credit from a qualitative standpoint. So it's can be tough. You gotta stand your ground and know where to draw the line with different clients and different industries.
Yeah, as we look ahead at the future of the credit, you know, obviously, you know, years past it was part of the extender package, and you know, there'd be some years where we're rolling into December, January, not knowing what was happening with the credit. Fortunately, you know, they made that permanent, but now we have this issue of the amortization. As you're talking with clients, what is your advice as we sit here in the middle of 2022? What's your advice on how they should approach this kind of unknown area?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that any company that has been claiming the credit historically needs to be aware of. For tax year 2022, that amortization of expenses, if it does not change, will have a tremendous impact on any taxpayer claiming the credit. And our message to those companies is educate yourself on what those rules are, but we fully expect that those rules, those amortization requirements to change, hopefully by the end of 2022, at the very latest, the beginning of 2023. But again, certainly something to be aware of, plan for, but that those capitalization requirements are, they really hinder the benefit of pursuing the credit. And the IRS is going to be putting themselves in a position, if this doesn't change, where the IRS is actually going to be arguing, taking the position that taxpayers do qualify for the research credit, which is totally opposite, obviously, of what the position they've taken over the past 40 years since the research credit was first came out in the early 80s. But there are some other nuances that are going to be taxpayers that say, oh, I'm just not going to claim the credit, and because I want that full deduction of all of my expenses that historically were qualified expenses. The issue with that position is that you get into a situation where you're admitting that you don't have maybe Section 41 qualified expenses, but the IRS is going to say you do have Section 174 expenses. So you don't get the credit, and you also have to amortize. And that would be a really bad position or situation to be in. So that's probably the most important point if you really get into some of the details of that requirement, making sure that we educate clients that have historically claimed the credit that they probably need to keep doing it and be honest about it. Otherwise, they're gonna get slapped twice, once with the amortization on the 174 expenses and then the admission that they don't have Section 41 expenses and no ability to claim the credit.
Yeah, and I think the good part, as you indicated, I think our thoughts are that this thing will get resolved. Every piece of proposed legislation that's come out has either come with a fix or kicked the can down the road 4 or 5 years, and we'll address it then. So, no, I thank you for joining me today, and it's been fun to watch our R&D group grow, and I look forward to everything that we're building out our Atlanta team as we look to open our Dallas and our Phoenix offices, building our R&D team in those places, and again watching our younger generation of leaders help establish those areas. So again, thank you for your time today. It was good talking with you.
Thanks, Justin. Yeah, looking forward to some future growth.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions for our team or would like to read our blog series about navigating the R&D credit, contact information and link to our blog can be found in the show notes.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social @McGuireSponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.